You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
South Haven Mayor next Friday, Darren Musselwhite, to discuss the never-ending growth in South Haven and how they plan to keep up with all that as they have plotted and planned and have a big new event coming down there at a 7 or 8 year project. That's a long time, but a town square of sorts down there on Gitwell. If you live in South Haven, you know where it is. It's already pretty nuts. So we'll see what the plans are to move people to and fro down there in the tip. You think it was cold around here? And man, I am so thrilled to not having to be wearing long pants and compression t-shirts and, well, you know, a bunch of clothes. It just gets to be too much. I'm wearing black today in solidarity with women from last night who were on the Golden Globes. I'm not being sarcastic. Yes, I am. But they all wore black, and it was quite the event. And mixed feelings, I'm sure, among America that already kind of sees these people as the extreme liberal bunch that's always outraged and bitching about something. And they sometimes choose these award shows to do it, which seems to be a little bit inappropriate, unnecessary, and the wrong place at the wrong time. In this case, I think, though, that since the majority of this insanity finally came to a head in Hollywood with Harvey Weinstein at the forefront and Kevin Spacey, which is really a sad thing. He's a fine actor. And the list goes on and on eternally. Bill Cosby, this all began with him. But it's been, this has been simmering for decades and finally exploded. And last night, although it might have been annoying to those that don't have any, of these experiences and all that, they took the opportunity last night to be a front united in this is over. It has to stop. And it affects people, not just Hollywood stars, not just politicians, but, every man, every woman that's ever been through this knows the severity of the problem. So if they can use that forum to spread the word, then, good for them. And they did last night. And it does get a little bit preachy at times, but maybe it's time it got preachy. Oprah, I guess, was the queen of the speakers last night, but it was discussed a number of times articulately and appropriately as the evening went on. And there were some awards for movies too. So that has come and gone. The Academy Awards may or may not be one more chance for them to do this, but you really can't say it enough. And the men in attendance we're also in support of this as well. So last night it was used for that, and some fine actors and actresses won the awards. And so that one is over, and now the awards season has commenced in full flourish. The Grammys, I guess, are next, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we all know that there's nothing involving a rock band on there. So next on that one, and that may be kind of overselling it, but there ain't much. It's the year of Jay-Z and Damn by Mr. Lamar, Kendrick, and a ton of other things that don't really involve anything of a rock nature. I guess Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell was on there.
There's Cohen's on there.
Right. There's some harder acts that are on there, too, under their hard rock category, and they have an alt-rock category.
Jeez. Well, I just sense it's going to be, I won't say it yet, but maybe a bit of a yawn, or then again, it might not be, so we'll find out when it comes on sometime next month. Academy Awards, and there'll probably be some kind of a CMA show, because they happen once a week, and that'll be happening. Tonight is football, not in America of the college kind. Many folks are fired up. Fans of the Crimson Tide particularly are excited. There are some Bulldog fans around here, too, for Georgia, so it's going to be a hoot. But at least, well, they'll be inside in that dome down there. So it was cold here, was the point of my discussion, for almost 3 weeks, right? I mean, bone-chilling, ridiculous, 8 degrees in the morning kind of cold. I mean, just ridiculous. That is about to stop. Around the world, it is summer in some places, like Australia.
Right.
Australia hit a record, 113 over the weekend. That's without the heat index. The beaches are packed. People are dropping like flies, and it was 113 degrees. I saw 117 in some other place. So this was a mess. Well, someone told me, conversely, in New Hampshire, with the wind chill factor over the weekend, where they had snow and ice and wind, it was 100 degrees below zero.
Jeez.
But, which I'm guessing would kill you. So it's all about extremes. That's why people talk about climate change, because of the extremes and the things that happen, like this past year of hurricanes and the earthquakes we had last week that no one noticed. But I'll be darned if back in I guess it was in December. There was a long, long story on the Drudge Report that was picked up from some other service about the fact that this is the year that Seattle and that part of the country up into Canada, Washington State, and all of those folks were primed for trouble. And sure enough, they had a rash of them last week. So we will sit back and watch how all of that stuff goes. Oh, yeah. Here's the story right here. New Hampshire, the bomb cyclone caused temps to hit a wind chill of minus 94 degrees.
Jeez, not 100, golly, but still close enough.
At some point, it all feels the same, right?
Yeah.
I mean, golly, gosh. So, yeah, that's cold. But around here tomorrow and Wednesday, 50s. 60 on Thursday. That is a beautiful thing. If you work outside, you know, there's this list here is not really any surprise. The most dangerous jobs in, I guess, the world, because there are jobs like this all across the world. Number one most dangerous job, logging workers. They always seem to be up there.
Yeah.
Because they're cutting down giant trees, and they're up in trees cutting things with chainsaws and that kind of deal.
Right. And they're often doing it a far piece from any hospitals. Mm. So if something goes wrong with their cutting equipment,
yeah,
and it cuts into your arm, you got to drive to get to a good hospital.
Yeah, that's a bad scene. Number two is people that work in the fishing industry. Huh. Okay, well, that's if you've watched some of those shows. What was the
Dangerous
Catch?
Yeah.
Dangerous Catch. God, that just showed you how intense and dangerous that line of work can be. Number three, pilots and flight engineers. Well, that must imply the smaller planes, not the big planes, but some of these smaller things that always seem to be the death of somebody. Number four, roofers. Is that because they fall off of high places?
That's my guess.
I guess that would be the obvious answer. Refuse and recyclable material collectors. Garbage men?
Mm-hmm.
What's dangerous about that? Getting squashed in the truck?
I guess the equipment, or getting hit by cars as you're trying to load the refuge into your pickup, your garbage truck, or what have you.
Well, surely to goodness, you can see the guys are out there. Slow your ass down.
So some people don't care. They got places to go, man.
Oh, I know. They're busy texting and, oh, God. Iron and steel workers. Driver, sales workers, and truck drivers.
Huh.
farmers and ranchers, other farm people. First line supervisors on construction jobs. And overall farm workers, number 10. So these are obviously jobs that involve heavy labor and working outside for the most part. So these are the jobs that you don't want if you don't want to die. So be careful out there. Any emails you want to send to us anytime throughout the day or when we're off the air, it doesn't matter. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
And we've gotten one or two since the last go around. Adam on the Facebook issue says, not sure how they could do it, but if they could somehow ban anything political from being posted,
yeah,
the Facebook would be much better, in my opinion.
That's been discussed. I saw that either as part of this story, and it might have been part of this story, but that is the worst thing. There are just some topics on shows like this or on the Facebook that you go there and they're hot button issues and the argument will ensue and there's no winning it. Politics has to be on top. Politics leads to religion and racism. And those three things are the buttons you don't want to push, because usually you get people that have no idea whether they just don't have the smarts to communicate and discuss these things reasonably. They get pissed off and they have opinions based entirely upon emotion and not fact. And then it all goes to hell.
That's right.
So but there was some mention, though, of trying to exclude anything, you know, in that area from Facebook. How?
Don't see how you could do
it. How can you ever do it?
It's hard enough just to monitor it to keep people from saying outright hate directly to someone.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Adam says, on his first try, thought someone should point out that the first try referenced in the Trump tweet this morning isn't even accurate. He ran in 2000, but eventually dropped out despite winning two primaries. I looked into that. Yeah. That's not exactly accurate. He formed an exploratory committee in 2000, qualified for a couple of primaries, but didn't go any further than that. So I don't know if forming an exploratory committee really counts as running for president.
Oh, who knows? This can take any number of twists and turns, and it will. No one knows what's going to happen. If you spend your time on some of these news sites, and for me and some of us, you've got to, and you watch some of these network shows, you can form so many opinions, some of which may be wrong, some may be right, some may be a bit jaundiced by the agendaed people that write the opinions and the stories. And I saw where this... there's a health club chain. They didn't quote the name of the place that has decided to take every news network off the TVs in the gym.
Yeah, that's Lifetime Fitness.
It's a smart idea, because in those places, I go there to try to read and walk and go to the sauna and sweat and not talk about politics or anything else, frankly. But not a bad idea. But
nope.
This entire thing has been one for the books, and it's not over yet. But at least we can rest assured, rest comfortably, knowing that Mr. Trump, in his own words, is a very stable genius.
And like really smart.
So if that doesn't comfort you, I don't know what will.
Yes. And Connor says, love the show. Just a reminder, the earth is flat. Don't believe the ultimate lie that you live on a ball in space, says Connor. That's really going to screw up the lunar eclipse coming up later.
Why did Connor waste our time and his writing that?
I don't know. It was just one of the randomnesses of the email.
No, keep it to yourself.
Now and then.
Stop wasting our time.
If you want to contribute in any way, even that, if you really want to, mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
I'm guessing that Connor's head is flat or warped looking. Thanks, Connor. Really helpful, hon. The Sleep Number beds are really good. That's kind of a simple statement, but it's true. We've had ours for over a decade, and this time of year, sleep is important. Well, it's just always important. And there are more stories all the time about the how much you need to sleep at night. And these beds help you accomplish that goal if that's one of your plans for 2018. You got to have the sleep. These beds let you choose your comfort level. And mine's 100, has been that way for a long time. Their newer beds will sense how you sleep in the evening and adjust as you go. And that's pretty smart because they are smart beds. And you can get them only at the stores that say Sleep Number on them. There are three here in town at the Saddle Creek Mall, at Wolf Chase, and in South Haven by the Starbucks and GameStop on Goodman Road. So hop in there and get some ideas. Right now, the best bed for couples is on sale, lowest price of the season. You can save up to, a bunch of money on various beds. There's kings, there's queens, and the savings are really good right now in the hundreds of dollars. So go to the store or go to the site for more specifics. Sleepnumber.com is the website for their stores, beds, and all details. One of the songs here that is up for a Grammy, one of the few rock tunes of a guy that we lost last year, very sadly. Here is Chris Cornell.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
I don't know. Does that somehow suggest to some of us that people are finally understanding the importance of these things and the meaning of them? And what they imply, and that each of these monuments, each of these things across America are there for different reasons. And some of them should be left alone. But some of them that are in place, as these two here were, that were placed there for the wrong reasons, for mean-spirited reasons, just to, you know, proclaim white power, that's not going to cut it anymore. And there were those that wanted to argue the point and those that always will. But you can stick by your guns if you want to. But that issue was handled. And if you still want to argue about it, the mayor will be here. I'm sure the Facebook page. I know that their Facebook page exploded after that and not in a positive way. But when it came time for the Confederate boys and on their motorcycles and their trucks, flying the flag, it didn't amount to much. That's good.
I think it speaks as much to that as it does to the fact that when you organize something on Facebook and it sounds interesting and exciting, a lot of people say, yeah, I'll be there. Then it gets cold or gets rainy or right. There's a good show on TV. And, you know.
Well, the first story said, because Facebook, you know, here we go with that again. It is easy to hop on that thing and say, hell yeah, by God, I'll be there with my friends, all, three of them. And it turns into the concept of 10,000 people. That's not even near to what showed up, which was about 50. So maybe, cooler heads will prevail. Maybe we are on the cusp of all this division at least beginning to heal itself, and we're heading toward a good, just a time when there's more understanding and compassion about a lot of stuff. A great deal of that will lie in the hands of the media and the president and how they handle what he says and how those of us that watch the president and politicians in general, how we react and how we handle what is being said and done. I think it is incumbent on the media now more than ever to not misrepresent what's going on. And that sometimes is hard to do. But just being truthful about it is the best move. And sometimes the truth is perceived as, all that damn liberal media or the damn conservative media and all that stuff. Well, it's just time for all the name calling to stop and the finger pointing to stop. And a bunch of that in the news today does begin at the White House and in D.C. in general. So, you know, this is going to be one of those long years of midterm elections in Tennessee, Arkansas, and it's going to be all over the place in this state especially. So I think it is incumbent upon all of us to use the facts and not opinions to, you know, to make the point and let the voters decide what they want to do. But we have, you know, first of all, you got to vote.
Yes.
And all that's going to start, you know, cranking up here before too long. The first primaries are in May. January, February, March, April, May. May is still the fifth month. That hasn't changed. And then in August, there are some primaries as well. Then November is the primary for the entire country for a number of seats for Congress and for state Congresses and Senates and all that stuff. So, you know, we have an interesting year ahead of us. We also, thankfully, have new books. James Lee Burke's book, I still haven't finished and I don't want to. We have two more here that are on the Drake's book picks on the page, drakeinthemorning.com. In my hand is the brand new C.J. Box book, The Disappeared. Many of you, along with us, I guess about 5 years ago, were introduced to Chuck Box. I don't know how we ever missed this guy, because he'd been around for a good bit before that. Ace Atkins, our dear friend and fine author, turned us on to Chuck, and we read the books and went, oh my, these are really good. Well, 19 later, this is the 20th, if I added right, the series of books about a man named Joe Pickett, who is a game warden in Wyoming, and the things that ensue in these books are remarkable. He has a, not really a partner, more of a buddy who comes to his rescue and vice versa, named Nate Romanowski, one of the best characters in today's popular fiction. Or is it fiction? I kind of wonder. So Chuck's book is out in March. And Robert Crace, who has written these great books about a private eye named Elvis Cole and his buddy Joe Pike. These guys have been around for, I'm guessing, 30 years. And Bob was on the show with us a few times. He had a book come out after. There was something odd about that, because the book was delayed for over a year. And then it came out and it wasn't very good or something. I don't remember what that story was. But Crace has about 20 of these, I think. And this one is out. It's called The Wanted. So get you a good book to read. I've been reading a lot this past couple of months about our old friend Tom Petty. And I've encountered a bunch of people that were as moved by his loss as I was, and how this just won't go away. A number of folks died last year and the year before that, and they'll keep dying. But with Petty, there was something different about this guy that's kind of hard to put your finger on. He was incredibly real. I spent time with him and his family and his band from the late 70s until the late 80s, on and off. And then I moved, to here. And he moved on to other things and ended up passing away October the 2nd. But the other book about him that is out, Warren Zanes. I wrote a book about TP a year ago. It was in 2016. But that book will, it's kind of a healing thing to read if you are as bothered by his passing as many folks were. And there are stories galore, and there are videos on YouTube. You can just get lost in that stuff. But the more that I read, the more that I just learn little bitty facts about these songs that we've heard for, 40 years. I had no idea. American Girl, probably, that was the first hit, maybe, or was Breakdown the first hit?
It was the first single, but it didn't hit, well, and they re-released it.
Yeah, wasn't a hit, and nor was Breakdown, really. But I didn't have any idea that that song was recorded, American Girl, on July 4, 1976.
Oh, wow. Right on the bicentennial.
I had no idea. And this one I read about last night in some magazine, and I had no idea about this either. And when you watch some of these videos and stuff, you learn how these artists write their songs. And it is a true education in how the masters do their work. And there's no secret to it. And they get stuck. And they sit for hours and hours and hours and cannot come up with the verse, the chorus. They just cannot do it. And I read last night about this song. And this song opens up, as you've heard for a long, long time, with this lady saying, it's just the normal noises in here.
Right.
And none of us ever knew what it was. Mike Campbell, the guitar player and Tom's partner for all those years, was recording in his home, this little bitty thing he had set up. And his wife was doing the laundry, and the washing machine was making this boom, boom, boom kind of a noise. It was getting on his nerves. And he said, hey, you know, cut it out, please. And she says, it's just the normal noises in here. And they kept it and put it on the record. So the story goes that Petty had all the verses done, and they were all finished. But when it came time for the chorus, he had no idea what to sing. He just didn't have it together. And on the first take of this song, he just sang these words, even the losers get lucky sometime. The first time he sang it, it popped into his head.
Wow, that's inspiration.
And it just really is cool to go back and to look at these things and find these little bitty nuances that have made up this great music, just the soundtrack to our lives from guys like this. But we'll play this for you into the break. And I hope this does begin with Mike Campbell's wife. Unless they cut it off, it will. But from Dan the Torpedoes, TP and the Heartbreaker Band, into our break, Even the Losers.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.